بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, as we are aware, we have now entered what is possibly the last 24 hours of the month of Ramadan. One more night, one more day, one more opportunity Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us to board that flight. That flight which we had mentioned, as Imam Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi would explain, that each night during the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, there is a flight that leaves. The destination is the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah has given us one more night, one more chance. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. That a person's actions, a person's ibadat, whatever a person does in this world will be judged based on how it ends, how it finishes. If a person will finish strongly, then it will be treated and judged to be a strong Ramadan. But if we will take our foot off the pedal, and a person will think to himself that the month of Ramadan has come to an end almost, perhaps Laylatul Qadr has passed already, and now I'm looking forward to preparation for Eid, so I won't exert myself tonight. If a person will finish weakly, will end the month of Ramadan in a weak manner, then it will be treated to be a weak Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us one more night. Ulama explain each night during the month of Ramadan, and especially these last 10 nights, it's as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a special printing machine. This machine will work for as long as you give attention to it. If you sit next to this machine for 1 hour, it will print for 1 hour. If you sit for 2 hours, it will print for 2 hours. If you sit for the entire night, it will print the entire night. But this machine won't print the currency of dunya, rands and dollars and pounds. It will print the currency of akhirat. A'mal, thawab, reward, the currency that a person will need to save him from the fire of Jahannam, the currency a person will need to gain him or to get him entry into Jannah. That machine is still with us tonight. The last odd night during the month of Ramadan, we don't know, it still could be Laylatul Qadr tonight. And more than this, ulama explain, whether it is Laylatul Qadr or not, for that person who exerted himself, he was searching for Laylatul Qadr, it is not far-fetched for Allah to give him the reward each night. Because he's looking, he's searching. We had mentioned before also the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah says, "Utlubni tajidni." Search for me, seek me, you will find me. In wajadtani wajadta kulla shay. If you find me, you have found everything. Wa in futtani fataka kullu shay. But if you haven't found me, then you have missed everything. A person's entire Ramadan. And now it's time for us to make some muhasaba, stock taking of ourselves. Like the businessman when he reaches the end of the financial year. He has a look through his accounts, through his books. He does stock take. And he sees where he went wrong and where he could have improved. For us to take muhasaba, stock take of our Ramadan. That thus far till now, what tawfiq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, we make shukr to Allah. Whatever a'mal, whatever opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, this is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah didn't give us tawfiq, we wouldn't have read one page of Quran. If Allah didn't give us tawfiq, we wouldn't have stood up for even our fard salah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these opportunities. There are places in the world, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, do not even know that it is the month of Ramadan. One jamaat came back from South America a few years back, and they gave their karguzari the report that it was the 6th or the 7th of Ramadan. 10 o'clock in the morning, we went for gush. And the local guide took us to a bakery. And he said, the owners of this bakery are of Arab descent. Descendants of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. 10 o'clock in the morning, 7th of Ramadan, we entered the bakery. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. We explained we are Jamaat from South Africa. They welcomed us. And as we got speaking, one brother says, why don't you join us for breakfast? The Amir of the Jamaat says, what do you mean breakfast? He says, we have just made our tea and coffee. And there's fresh baking, why don't you join us? Partake of breakfast with us. So the Amir says, don't you know it's the month of Ramadan? He says, the month of Ramadan? I thought there's still a few weeks left. Descendants of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us how many opportunities? Allah gave us tawfiq of performing 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah. That in itself is a ni'mat. We know in Haramain Sharifin right now, how the heart pains. That a person is right there in front of Baytullah. In the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there's no opportunity to perform 20 rakats. Allah gave us tawfiq. Then Allah gave us tawfiq to make khatam of Quran. So many places in the world we find Taraweeh is taking place. Beautiful recitation. Tajweed is so good, but there's no tawfiq of khatmul Quran. Just a few surahs are in. Allah give us tawfiq of khatam. Allah give us tawfiq of coming to the masjid for our 5 times salah. Other places in the world, 2-3 hours journey just for Jumu'ah salah. So all these amal, these ibadat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us tawfiq to do, we make shukr to Allah. That, oh Allah, this is only from you, and then we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it. That Allah crown our actions with acceptance, with qabuliyat, this is the main thing. No matter what we have done from the start of Ramadan till now, if Allah does not accept it, it will count for nothing. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahab rahmatullah Ali was in South Africa. So he went to meet Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahab rahmatullah Ali of Mia's farm. And what a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he was. How many huffaz had passed through his hands. And what solid jayid huffaz he had made. So the Hakim Sahab rahmatullah Ali asked him, that tell me how many students have qualified at your hands? How many have become huffaz at your hands? So he replies to him, he says, if you want to know how many students enrolled in my madrasa, then we can go to the register and perhaps we can find the number. How many students passed through the doors of the madrasa? But if you want to know how many students have become huffaz and qualified at my hands, this I will only be able to tell you the day my eyes close. When I leave this world, when I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then only I'll know who Allah accepted, who He rejected. So this is the main thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our amal. Allah give us qabuliyat. Whatever little deeds we have done, Allah must accept it. We beg, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this should continue to be our dua. But together with this, ulama explain, like in dunya also, when a person achieves something, and there's no doubt, we all have achieved something. Every person will realize from the start of Ramadan till now that I have felt something within me, some spark within my heart. Salah became easier to perform, tilawat became easier. It was enjoyable to wake up for sehri, to come to the masjid for fajr salah. And different amal, the environment was there. People were engaged in different ibadat. And each person would raise his hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we would have felt that little bit of connection, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to me right now. And I've developed some sort of a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us not to lose this after the month of Ramadan. Just like in dunya, we have a maintenance plan. For our iman, for our taqwa also, what is the maintenance plan? That soon the month of Ramadan will come to an end. Hazrat Mu'anayim Sahib Dham Barakatuh mentioned a few years back also, that the last night of the month of Ramadan, one youngster had come to him with tears in his eyes. And he says, Mawlana, I don't know what to do. I've been sitting in i'tikaf, 10 nights or 9 nights have passed. And how I've enjoyed myself, abstaining from guna, from sin, my evil company, bad habits, making tilawat, salah, dua. But I'm so frightened, so afraid, tomorrow I will step out of the masjid, what's going to happen to me? I mustn't lose what I have got. He understood the value, the sweetness of iman. What is our maintenance plan going forward for after the month of Ramadan? Ulama explain, Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi would explain 4 things if a person will do. 4 actions, very simple but very difficult. But if a person will do these 4 actions, then Allah will give him tawfiq to make amal on the rest of deen. And not just to make amal, but Allah will make it enjoyable, pleasurable for him also. So these 4 things he would explain, 2 are external, 2 are internal. The first he would explain when it comes to a person's outer appearance. That as far as possible, make an effort to maintain a fist length beard. Although it may be difficult, our entire lives perhaps we haven't done it. But now Allah has given me some sort of connection, some sort of link with Him. And then he would explain, why is it so important? When a person attaches himself to the sunnah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now love a person. So he would give the example in the olden days, the elderly would perhaps remember, that in the shop when they would sell rice, it wouldn't be pre-packed like today's time. So the rice would be weighed, 1 kilo, 2 kilos, it would be put into a plastic packet and sold like this. So with the rice, there would be small stones and pebbles there also. So he explains that for as long as the stones were attached to the rice, they fetched the value of the rice. The person went, it was weighed 1 kilo, and he paid the full price for it. And as long as the stones were attached to the rice, when he took it home, it got the respect and the honor of the rice also. That he kept it in a safe place, in a cool place, away from direct sunlight. No moisture must come to it. The children mustn't touch it. And then the housewife would sit one day and separate the rice from the stones and the pebbles. And she would take those stones and throw it outside, out the window. Now when those stones separated from the rice, now he says the child will come from school, he'll kick the stones on one side, the dog will come urinate on it. It has no value, no respect any longer. So in the same way he would say, we are like those stones, and that bag of rice is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as we will keep ourselves attached to it, then we will have value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment we will detach ourselves, many a times a person says, these external sunnats are in my heart. Nobody should question me. Yes, nobody is questioning anybody's intention. But when the youngster wants to get married, tell him that suffice on any girl, her beauty will be in her heart. See what he says. I want the most beautiful and she must be 10 out of 10 also. So then we won't say it's in the heart. A person is hungry, he wants to eat, tell him eat within your heart. I'm not ready to do it. Time of iftar. We know how hungry we get. So there are external sunnats which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had emphasized. Yes, it may be difficult. There will be a backlash. What my friends will say to me. What society will say. My family will say, you went for your itikaf, what happened to you? But it's about time that we ask ourselves the question, what will Allah say? Leave what people will say. What will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Is it worth it? That I give up the taqwa, that relationship with Allah, just to please somebody else, to please society. So as difficult as it may seem, those two messengers come in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the international law, international standard, is that messengers who come from a king, a foreign king, his delegation has come, they must be respected, they must be honored. They mustn't be made to feel uncomfortable. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turns his face away from them. I don't want to look at you. What has happened? He says, who has commanded you to appear before me like this, that you are clean shaven? So they say, our king, our leader, he has commanded us to appear like this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my leader, my king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to lengthen my beard. So when it comes to these external sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how important, and ulama explain, if we will bring this within our life, how it will stop a person from doing guna and sin also. Now a person will feel ashamed, I mustn't get caught in the wrong place. Because people can see I'm a Muslim. Like we gave the example before also, that soccer player, cricket player, he has the flag of his country on his back. So he'll be extra careful that I mustn't do anything untoward. Because the entire world's eyes are on me, I'm representing my country right now. We will be representing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How many things it will stop us from? Then too, it's possible a person may still get involved in guna. Like on a lighter note, as Muhammad Hamid Sahib has mentioned, that the youngster comes for itikaf, he changes his life a little bit, he begins to grow his beard, he got a topi, imama, he's got a kurta also. And after the month of Ramadan, he happens to go to the mall, he has to go for something. So in the distance he sees, there's a girl who is coming, she's got abaya, scarf, cloak, parda also. And as he looks at her, she looks at him, the eyes meet. So he looks down, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, I can't look. But then because he hasn't yet worked on himself properly, slowly he raises his head, he looks again, is she looking at me or not? He says, she's still looking. There's some connection. Again he says, astaghfirullah, I can't do this. But the nafs is inside, the nafs is still alive. So slowly he says, he'll put his hand into his pocket and quietly he opens his itar bottle and he begins to apply it. Nobody must notice. And then he looks into the store, in the storefront, the glass, and he's seeing his topi is straight, his kurta is straight. And then he realizes he needs to go to that shop where she's standing, there's a sale there, he has to go past. So he'll think to himself, never mind, at least she's a good girl, pious girl. So it won't be so bad. So it is possible still, although a person has the external appearance, that he may fall into guna and sin, but generally when we are representing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam externally, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the internal right also. Allah will make it happen. So the first thing he would say, keep a first length beard. Secondly, he would say, make every effort to ensure that our garments are above our ankles at all times. Again, there's a misconception that this is something only within salah. Outside of salah also, it is absolutely necessary for our garments to be above our ankles. Whether it's our kurta, our pants, whatever it may be. The hadith of Bukhari Sharif, very clear, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't mince his words. That ma asfala min al ka'bain fa fin nar. That portion of the body beneath the ankle which will be concealed and covered by the garment. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam directly says, will be in the fire of Jahannam. Allah protect us. But for a few inches of skin, we do not want to jeopardize our akhirat. It can be the difference between Jannat and Jahannam. So these two external things he would say. Keep a fustan, beard, keep the garment above the ankles, as far as possible. And then two internal things he would speak about. That a person takes special care to protect his gaze. That I must not look at anything that is haram. Anything that will earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Special care. And he would explain also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for us. That when some temptation comes in front, Allah has given us shutters. Just close the shutter over your eye and you will be protected, you will be saved. No matter what somebody may say to you, somebody is walking through the desert, there's a sandstorm, and he places his arm over his eyes to shield himself. Nobody will call him a madman. Nobody will laugh at him. He's doing what he has to do to protect himself. Because if those specks of dust and sand have to come into his eyes, some harm will come to him. He understands my physical eyes will be harmed. My body will be harmed. How much of pain I'll go through. Here this is the spiritual eyes. The eyes of the heart that have to be protected. And now we will leave the masjid after the month of Ramadan. We'll be back in our businesses. It may be some secretary at work. It may be some meeting I have to go to. Some woman is there. Or I'm flying somewhere in the airport, in the aeroplane, wherever it may be. Temptation will be there. It's not going to go away. But a person will take special care to protect his gaze, to protect his eyes. And here also when it comes to the cell phone, I mentioned this the other night also. Sometimes without a person realizing, we're browsing through some news article perhaps, nothing haram, but there's a picture of some woman there, her hair is open, her hands are open, her arms are open. For no reason we are earning guna and sin in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're destroying our iman without realizing. So how much of care, how much of effort we should make in this regard? That I protect my eyes, I protect my gaze. I must not look at something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want me to look at. And then Hazrat Mu'inus Patel sahab rahmatullahi alayhi would say, that person who will protect his gaze, then I give him guarantee his wife, Allah will make her the most beautiful woman in the world to him. Although she might not have that physical beauty, but Allah will make it such. And genuinely he'll feel this in his heart, that my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. Why I'm protecting my gaze? I haven't consumed it elsewhere. So one is protecting the gaze, and lastly, the fourth action that he would say is to protect the heart, the minds, and the mind and the thoughts. That I must not think anything which is going to take me towards guna and sin. I must not allow. Remember, shaitan now has been chained up for 30 days. So when he is released, his effort will be times 30. Because he has to cover up for what he must. His life's mission and goal is to take insan away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how much more on guard we have to be now as we reach the end of the month of Ramadan. Shaitan will make his attack on the day of Eid. He won't wait one more day. He won't give us a chance that enjoy your Eid, I'll start with you the next day. He'll make his attack immediately. And the families will get together. And then intermingling perhaps will take place. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being broken. Now how strong is our iman? Am I able to resist it? Am I able to resist the temptation? It should not be in the name of Eid, in the name of celebration, that now the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being broken. And then Maulana Patel sahab rahmatullahi alayhi would explain also, we shouldn't feel that I don't have the ability. Sometimes a person will feel, these things are too heavy for me, too difficult for me. The pious people, maybe they can manage all of this. But for me, I'll have to go back to my old life. So he would say, take a lesson from the fasting person in the month of Ramadan, from the person in i'tikaf. How the person in i'tikaf, how much of care he takes, that I must not leave the boundary of the masjid, even by mistake also. So much of care. And if I go out to make wudu, can I go to make nafil wudu? I don't need wudu, can I go out? If I'm going to relieve myself, how long can I spend? He's worried about all of this, he's concerned. Why Allah's command, I must not leave the masjid, I'm in i'tikaf right now. The fasting person, sometimes we see a young child, he's keeping roza, he woke up in the morning for sehri. By the time Zohar and Asar Salah comes, you can see his cheeks are pale. All the color is gone from his skin. He's hungry, he's tired. His mother will say to him, just break your fast. There's still 1-2 hours left. But he'll say no. I can only eat when the Maghrib Azan will go. Allah doesn't want me to eat now. The fasting person understands. Even though he's at home, nobody will know. Nobody will know he's breaking the command of Allah. But how conscious he is. This is the command of Allah. I cannot break it. So he says, take a lesson from the fasting person, from the person in i'tikaf. Just as I was conscious of the command of Allah in Ramadan when it came to my fasting, when it came to my i'tikaf, I can be conscious of the other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we will slip and fall. We're not going to be perfect. And here also an important point. We should not become despondent that after the month of Ramadan, perhaps I will fall into some guna and sin. It's only natural, it's going to happen. But the child who's learning to walk and he falls down, he doesn't remain there. So you won't find a 30-year-old man now still crawling on the ground. You know why? I fell one time, I didn't try again. He'll fall, he'll get hurt, he'll wake up, he'll dust his clothes. He'll clean himself up again. His mother will wipe his tears, he'll try again. He'll fall, he'll try. 100 times in the day, he'll fall. Eventually the day will come where he's walking, he's running and sprinting now. So ulama explain in the same way, a person will continue trying, continue trying, continue trying. Never mind, no matter how many times I break it, no matter how many times I fall into guna and sin, I will continue. The day will come where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, enough is enough, let me pull him to me now. Now I'll make it easy for him. Now his work is done. So we should not become despondent. If I fall into some guna and sin, make tawbah immediately. Allah has given us that. But try once again. We know my own condition. 6, 7, 8 months of the year will pass. Before we know it, the month of Rajab comes again. We're preparing for Ramadan. I'm in the same place that I started this Ramadan. It should not be. We make intention, Allah make this Ramadan the turning point in our lives. That finally now we will keep our foot down. And we will try and maintain what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. One last guideline. What will make this easy for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a system in this world. One is, ulama explained, a person has his backyard, the garden, that he hasn't tended to for many months. And now there's a large bush that has grown there. And he sees small garden snakes that are coming out. He doesn't know what else is inside. There may be scorpions, snakes, dangerous insects and creatures in there. So there are two ways for him to clean it out. One is, he can put on some type of a suit and take an axe in his hand or garden scissors and attempt to go and break down or cut down all of that, those weeds that are growing there. So we'll say to that person that at least write your will and make your wasiyat before you go. You might not come out. So he can do that. That's the hard way. Or, Mashaykh explained, he can go to a gardener, an experienced gardener, and tell him, you give me some tips on how to clean this bush that has grown in my backyard. The gardener will say to him, buy some fuel, some paraffin, just sprinkle it around, light a match and sit back. And the entire thing will be burnt. Now you can start planting your roses and your flowers and your fruit and vegetables. So in the same way ulama explained, one is we can try on our own. After the month of Ramadan, I'll fall into some guna, the old routine, evil habits, bad company. I can try on my own. Then I'll try and rectify myself, try and come right, try and change my life. But most likely, I will get overpowered. Or I can go to an experienced person. The mashayikh Allah has given us, the ahlullah, the friends of Allah. And ask him, you tell me how to sort myself out. You guide me. And Allah has blessed us in our country, in our city, in our town. How many majalis are taking place on a weekly basis? We have Hazrat Mawlana's majlis takes place in this masjid. Many other masajid also. Programs are taking place. In fact, perhaps every day of the week there's a program for somebody. If it's not the zikr majlis taking place, some other majlis taking place, the in-gush, out-gush, shab-guzari Friday night, every weekend there's some special program, youth program. Allah has created these avenues for us. So we attach ourselves to some place where our heart is connected, where we feel some itminan, some contentment. I can speak to this pious person. I can relate to him. I can put my condition forward before him and take advice from him. And then see how quickly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to maintain what we have earned in the month of Ramadan. And then when the next Ramadan will come, we'll find, now I'm not starting in the same place. Now Allah has allowed me to keep that ta'alluq and that relationship with him. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make a short dua, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي، آمين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.